Adrian 5 Senses, building the Adrian brand name in tourism, indulging all five senses. The Adrian area has high potential for further development of sustainable tourism. However, tourism suffers from several weaknesses. The common territorial challenge to be addressed by Adrian 5 Senses is the lack of a sustainable tourism model based on innovative, high-quality tourism products and services. The project suggests an holistic approach to sight, hearing, smell, taste and touch to develop effective branding strategies and boost the performance of Adrian destinations by creating conditions to enhance tourist experiences. This integrated approach, based on sensory marketing, is new and innovative for the Adrian area. The overall objective is to build and promote the Adrian brand name in tourism by indulging all five senses of tourists. The specific objective is to direct the efforts of Adrian stakeholders to the sustainable planning of physical and virtual settings and the valorization and preservation of natural and cultural heritage, in which positive and memorable experiences are more likely to emerge, leading to positive outcomes, such as tourist loyalty. The project aims to use technology for the co-creation of enhanced destination experiences. The Adrian destination then has the opportunity to better address the multi-sensory nature of the tourist experience. The project Adrian 5 Senses, building the Adrian brand name in tourism, indulging all five senses, is funded by the Adrian Transnational Cooperation Programme 2014-2020, co-financed by the European Regional Development Funds and the Instrument of Pre-Accession. The Adrian 5 Senses Tour will start from the region of Epirus, the land of cheese, where you can also experience Lake Panvotis in the island of Ioannina, and will go to Italy and Ferrara with an intense emotional experience that captivates your palate and soul. The tour continues, hearing the sea organ in Zadar and smelling tamarisk, and then to Slovenia, where you can experience wine growing in the land on the sunny side of the Alps, and to Bosnia and Herzegovina's Sarajevo, visiting the city hall and the old bazaar. Following the path further, you will have the opportunity to taste rakia brandy in Serbia, and then visit the Dragobia Cave in Albania and the Dumitor National Park in Montenegro. Greece, region of Epirus, the land of cheese. In recent years, a network of modern tourist infrastructure, built on the warm, homely Epirote hospitality and its traditional flavors, has managed to put a spotlight on the delicious local cuisine, a gastronomic experience based on the excellent, top-quality local produce. This is a great incentive for those who are searching for a different way to have a good time and relax. The fresh goat's milk produced in the region is the basis for a variety of excellent cheeses. You can start your tasting tour with the great quality and flavour of PDO, European Protected Destination of Origin feta cheese, produced by leading manufacturers of dairy products as well as by small traditional cheesemakers. Metsovo holds a special place in the local history of cheesemaking. Young people from Metsovo, studying in Italy with the support of a grant initiative from Evangelos Averov, were responsible for the creation of the Metsovoni smoked cheese, a relative of provolone, and Metsovela from pastorella, which are available from the cheese factory of the Tozitsas Foundation and from the many traditional cheesemakers in Metsovo. You can also find it elsewhere at selected stores in Greece and overseas. Particularly spicy and flavorful are the yellow cheeses like kefalotiri, made from goat's milk, and another speciality is the Metsovo chèvre, made with cracked black pepper and produced only in spring, an ideal accompaniment to tsiporo. Recently, production of the Kashkaval Pindos cheese has begun again, made from sheep's milk mixed with goat's milk. It is a traditional product predominantly associated with the Vlach peoples in the Balkans. On the dining tables of Epirus, side by side with a perfectly cooked piece of meat or a vegetable pie, there is always a place for galotiri, which is also a certified PDO product. It is a cream cheese with a yogurt-like texture, mixed with crumbled feta. It has a slightly sour but very refreshing taste. Also, try the spicy vasilotiri, made with goat's milk, crumbled feta and mizithra, another soft white cheese. Lake Pamvotis, island of Ioannina. This well-known lake was in ancient times known as Pamvotis, the Great Provider. Situated right next to the city of Ioannina, this uncommonly beautiful lake is a true gem of the Ioannina Basin region. With a fascinating history, full of legends and traditions that go back centuries, the lake of Kyra Frozini has become famous beyond the borders of Greece. The lake is supplied by the springs of Mount Mitsikeli, of Drabatova, Sendeniko, and Kyra. Its waters are usually calm, though it freezes on occasions. It exerts a mysterious charm over the locals, who spend sunny summer days on its shores, reveling on its banks in the morning mist, or walking next to it on melancholic winter's evenings. There are thick reed beds around the lakeside, as well as dense thickets of willows, poplar trees, and huge plane trees which offer shelter from the wind to a host of local and migrational birds. Herons, grebe, snipe, swans and cormorants all earn their daily bread by snacking on the local fish population. In the middle of Lake Pamvotis, you'll find the island of Ioannina. It is a small miracle of nature, unbelievably beautiful and of great historical significance. It is situated towards the northwestern part of the lake, a hair's breadth away from the village settlement of Amphitheia. Its west side has a gentle coastline, while the remainder of its coastline is rocky, with impressive stony outcrops which plunge into the water. It is covered in woodland. The climate created by the lake favors the growth of lush vegetation. It is truly an earthly paradise. It and the island of Agios Achilleos in Prespa are the only lake islands in Greece that are inhabited. There is only one village on the island, which is a real gem, with picturesque paved alleys and folk art shops. The village has been designated an example of a traditional settlement due to its exceptional historical importance and its architectural beauty. It used to be an important monastic center, and today you can still visit five monasteries of great historical significance. Greece, Evia, Spheria, the whistled language of Greece. Nestled in the mountains in the south of the Greek island of Evia, the small remote village of Antia is known for its unique whistled language, used for centuries by its now aging population. The whistled speech relies on phonetic elements of the original spoken language to convey information at a distance or in a noisy environment, while providing high intelligibility of the sentences under these circumstances. The only whistled language in Greece, and one of the only two in Europe, is still used in Antia, a small village in the south of the island of Evia, Euboea, where the locals call it Spheria, from the Greek spherizo, to whistle. Spheria has a centuries-long history, and has always been used by the inhabitants of mountain-encircled Antia, especially the shepherds, who are believed to have used the whistled language to communicate with each other and with their families across enormous distances. The high-pitched sound, combined with the mountainous terrain, helped the sound travel even further. Spheria is effectively a whistled version of spoken Greek, in which letters and syllables correspond to distinct tones and frequencies. Because whistled sound waves differ from speech, messages in Spheria can travel up to 4 kilometers across open valleys, roughly 10 times further than shouting. What is striking is that Spheria was only discovered by the rest of the world in 1969, when an aeroplane crashed in the mountains behind Antia. While the crew was searching for the missing pilot, they witnessed the shepherds exchanging messages across the canyons in this way. There are no more than 6 people among the 37 remaining inhabitants of Antia who can still speak, or rather whistle, this language today. Although it has not yet been registered in the UNESCO Heritage List, Spheria is considered to be older and more structured compared to many other whistled languages, while also being the most critically endangered. In fact, according to the UNESCO Atlas of the World's Languages in Danger, no other language in Europe, whistled or not, has fewer living speakers than Spheria. Aromatic Plants and Herbs of Dirfis Mountain, Meliso Horto. Avia is rich in flora, and especially at the top of the mountains, there are varieties of aromatic plants and herbs. One of these plants is Meliso Horto, lemon balm. Meliso Horto leaves have a gentle lemon scent related to mint. During summer, small white flowers full of nectar appear. These attract bees, hence the genus name Melissa, Greek for honeybee. Lemon balm has a long history, dating back to ancient Greece, where it was planted near beehives to encourage the bees to return home to the hive rather than swarm away. It was planted and used by the beekeepers of the Temple of Artemis to help keep the sacred honeybees content. Lemon balm was carried into Europe through Spanish trade routes, eventually making its way into the monastic gardens throughout Europe. To truly obtain a full understanding of lemon balm within ancient historical context, we must look to the scientific name Melissa officinalis for the initial clues. The mystique that surrounds lemon balm is rich and spans thousands of years, beginning in ancient Ephesus, today known as Turkey. It is here we begin to understand where lemon balm's scientific name originates, as well as its magical attributes and cherished healing powers. In the Ephesian ceremony, the life of the bee was the model. The great goddess was the queen bee, the mother of her people, and her image was, in outline, not unlike the bee, with a grotesque mixture of the human form. Her priestesses were called Melissae. Within ancient Greek religious doctrine, the Melissae priestesses served the Great Mother, Rhea or Cybele, or the goddess of earth and nature, such as Demeter, Persephone, and especially Artemis. The honeybee was considered to be a form the human soul took when descending from the goddess Artemis herself. Moving forward from ancient times to the medieval and Renaissance ages, we find that lemon balm gains an even more virtuous standing amongst humans, not only for its healing abilities, but as a trade good and a literary muse and subject. In the 9th century, the first Holy Roman Emperor, Charlemagne, thought Melissa so beautiful and so valuable to the health of his subjects that he ordered it planted in all monastery gardens. Benedictine monks later shipped the herb to other regions. In folklore, lemon balm was used to ward off evil and to promote good health, love, and good cheer. Lemon balm sachets placed under your pillow or near the bed are reputed to provide a refreshing, relaxing sleep. In traditional medicine, Melissa officinalis leaves have been prescribed for internal application as tea or external application as essential oil for the treatment of disorders of the gastrointestinal tract, nervous system, liver, and bile. Italy, Ferrara. An intense emotional experience that captivates your palate and soul. Welcome to the unique land of Ferrara for an adventure entirely dedicated to the senses. Lose yourself in the art, nature, flavors, and landscapes of places where time has left traces of unforgettable stories. This is the exclusive pleasure offered by Ferrara and its surrounding area. An intense emotional experience that captivates your palate and soul. In this land, mankind's wisdom preserves and passes on ancient traditions, transforming them into extraordinary food and wine that boasts certified quality, such as the unmistakable scent that intoxicates your senses every morning at dawn as you walk through the streets of Ferrara, inviting you to taste some of the typical food products of the city while contemplating the Castello Estense, the symbol of the city. This is the case of the crunchy Ferrara bread known as coppia, or of the two traditional cakes of the territory, pampepato and tenerina. The coppia has ancient origins. The twisted or twined bread, the ancestor of today's coppia, appeared in 1536 during a dinner party offered by Messer Giglio in honor of the Duke of Ferrara. The famous bread has a central body called a knot or ribbon with two twisted pointed breadsticks attached. Either crusty or soft, With or without olive oil, the bread of Ferrara is a great pride for Italian gastronomy. Its secret is to be found in the quality of the water and the ingredients, as well as the air humidity, the manufacturing and leavening method, and the correct temperature of the oven. Tourists walking by a bakery in Ferrara cannot resist the tempting smell of fresh bread from the oven penetrating the air. Some writers have defined the copia as the best bread in the world. The panpepato cake also has a very special past. During the 1600s, the nuns of the Corpus Domini convent in Ferrara, drawing on an old recipe created by the great Renaissance cook Cristoforo da Messisbugo, created a cake to send to the great personages of the age. Cocoa had only recently arrived in Europe, thanks to Cortes. It was expensive, a luxury commodity, reserved only for the few and added as if a jewel, a precious powder. In the form of a small pumpkin, the dough was enriched with fine almonds or hazelnuts and tasty candied fruit, flavored with the most fragrant spices and all covered with plain chocolate. The rich cake was ready and became the pan del Papa, bread of the Pope. The intense and intoxicating smell of chocolate is also found in the Tenerina cake, famous since the 1900s as Montenegrina pie or Queen of Montenegro pie, because it was created for Elena Petrovic, Queen of Montenegro, wife of Vittorio Emanuele II, the King of Italy. This pie has a sweet and creamy heart of chocolate and is served with an icing sugar topping, intense smells that stimulate desire, anticipating the pleasure of savoring products that wrote the history of Ferrara cuisine and which, today, as in the past, are prepared with extraordinary skill. Croatia, Zadar, the sea organ in Zadar. The sea organ is a mysterious municipal installation created by artist Nikola Bašić in Zadar. It is situated on Zadar's Riva, which is the pleasant promenade on the edge of the old town peninsula called Obala Petra Krešimira IV, named after a Croatian king. Sea organ comprises 35 pipes fitted into the pavement, emitting unworldly noises whose tone and strength are powered by the waves. This combined art object and experimental instrument creates lovely chimed tunes using only the rolling power of sea waves. The installation looks like a series of broad steps leading down to the sea, hiding clever engineering beneath the surface. Syncopated, ever-changing tunes soothe and excite the minds of countless amazed visitors as they chill and linger on the seaside for hours just to hear that dreamlike sound once again before they leave. These sea organs, Zadar's latest landmark, built in 2005, are the only organs in the world played by nature itself. This is the perfect spot to hear all the characteristic sounds of the town of Zadar. Sea, wind, sailing ships and seagulls, the combined sound of nature and engineering is truly amazing. You can just relax, sit down and enjoy the sound of the waves making music. Tamarisk in Zadar region. The tamarisk, or Dalmatian metlika, is a widespread, small tree in the Adriatic islands and coast. It inhabits sandy and pebble seashores. It grows 2 to 5 meters high and is airy and branched. In English, it is known as the salt cedar. Tamarisk is an inseparable part of this truly special and demanding rocky region of Zadar County. And Tamarix dalmatica, Dalmatian metlika, is an endemic plant with light pink flowers that smell so beautiful. The enchanting smell and recognizable appearance of tamarisk adorns the Zadar coast and provides to inhabitants and visitors a recognizable fragrant sensation that will remind them of the tranquil, relaxing moments of long spring and summer days at the seaside on the beautiful Adriatic coast. The tamarisk is a very useful plant that can tolerate saline soils and actually concentrates salt within the plant, which is perfect for a coastal place like Zadar. It creates a pleasant shade along the coast and can be used for afforestation of specific habitats, such as places with strong salt or wind gusts. If you ask the locals about tamarisk, the smell of this plant provides an olfactory sensation of sea, summer, and happy, carefree moments. In Zadar, the scent of the sea and tamarisk, with its beautiful pink flowers, are inextricably linked. Slovenia, Nova Gorica, the wine-growing land on the sunny side of the Alps. Gorička cuisine is very Mediterranean, incredibly resourceful and creative. It is full of attractive antique features, rejuvenated with new combinations. Everyday dishes include typical minestrone, polenta with various sauces, and homemade pasta, all spiced with typical local spices. The menu is enriched by seasonal products such as Gorička chicory, asparagus, cherries, peaches, pears, mushrooms, and chestnuts. The symbols of Gorička hospitality are a slice of homemade prosciutto, a piece of bread from the bread oven, and a glass of wine. Gorička vineyards form the world-famous wine-growing region, where constant winds, proximity to the sea, sun, bleached soil, and a long tradition co-create exceptional conditions for the production of white as well as red wines. Some varieties are autochthonous, others have secured their homeland right by taking after good vintages. Dry and still wines with a pronounced aroma and full body predominate, but sparkling wines and sweet wines from dried grapes are not uncommon. All the culinary delights you can try out at many local restaurants, agritourisms, and so-called eights, where farmers open their doors for culinary experiences precisely 8 days a year. Everything homemade and excellent. The Days of Open Wineries is a few-day event, which also is a feature of this destination, where you can taste wines at the estates of different wine producers. Cultural and natural sites. Gorička is also famous for its cultural and natural sites, which are worth seeing. Numerous vantage points offer breathtaking views. Hiking, cycling, kayaking, rafting, paragliding, and an adrenaline park are sports that, in addition to sports activities, offer the visitor a beautiful view of the picturesque landscape and unspoiled nature. Among the most important cultural sites of the Gorička region are Konstanjevica Monastery, Holy Mountain above Nova Gorica, the stone-railed bridge in Solkan, the Castrum Fortress, Gonjači Lookout Tower, Rienberg Castle, Vila Vipolje, Europe Square, the common square of Slovenia and Italy, Nova Gorica, Gorizia, and many other monuments, castles, churches, and museums. Despite its small size, Gorička is infinitely varied and full of new experiences. Bosnia and Herzegovina, Sarajevo. City Hall. The City Hall was opened on April 20, 1896 and is in the center of Sarajevo. It was used for governing and administrative purposes at that time. The construction of the City Hall began in 1892 and was completed in 1894. This was one of the largest and most representative buildings of the Austro-Hungarian period in Sarajevo. During the visit of Crown Prince Franz Ferdinand with his wife Sofia to Sarajevo, the ceremonial reception was organized in the town hall, located in the City Hall building on June 28 in 1914. And a few minutes after the visit to the City Hall and city government, Gavrilo Princip assassinated Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sofia. After this event, the Viennese court responded with a declaration of war, and this event is taken as the cause of the First World War. After the Second World War, the City Hall became the National Library and remains in that function to this day. In the night between August 25th and 26th, 1992, the City Hall was hit by flammable artillery missiles. The fire destroyed the City Hall together with the huge library stock of the National University Library of about 2 million books. The renovation of the City Hall started in 1996 and lasted until 2014, and the complete reconstruction was done according to the original documentation. The reconstructed City Hall officially opened on May 9, 2014, on the Day of Europe and the Day of Victory over Fascism. Today, it is used in festive occasions at state and city level to promote events ranging from culture, art and economy, with constant and occasional museum settings, regular sessions of the City Council, and a variety of usage that seems to be bigger than ever before. Today, City Hall represents one of the most recognizable architectonic buildings in Sarajevo and is visited each year by more and more tourists. Bašćaršija. Bašćaršija is Sarajevo's old bazaar and the historical and cultural center of the city. Bašćaršija was built in 1462 when Izabeg Izaković built the Izaković Han, in addition to its many shops. The name of Bašćaršija in Turkish means main marketplace. In Bašćaršija, there are several important historic buildings such as the Gazi Huzurev Bey Mosque and Sahat Kula. Bašćaršija is also the location of the Old Orthodox Church, built sometime during the 16th century and first mentioned in Ottoman sources from 1539, and also the first Sephardi temple, called the Old Synagogue, which was built between 1581 and 1587. During the 16th century, a number of commercial facilities were built, such as Bezistans, Hans and Kavaranserais. During its golden age, Bašćaršija was not only Sarajevo's economic center, but also the largest trading hub in the Balkans, with approximately 12,000 shops and even trading colonies set up by merchants from Florence, Venice, and Dubrovnik. At one time, each street was dedicated to a different kind of craft: metalwork, jewelry, pottery, and so on. Another permanent stamp on Bašćaršija was left by Gazi Huzurev Bey. In 1530, with his own money, he built the most monumental building of Islamic culture in Bosnia and Herzegovina and the largest sacral object of Islamic architecture in this part of the world, the Gazi Huzurev Bey Mosque, sitting on the right bank of the river Miljaka. The Bey Mosque, together with the Mekteb, Wudu Inn, two octagonal mausoleums and the clock tower building, is the central and largest complex of the Çarşıya and has had a significant influence on all construction activities in the city. A clock tower, Sahat Kula, about 30 meters high, was constructed next to the mosque. At that time, few people owned a watch, so it was an important landmark for Muslim believers who perform their prayers five times a day at very certain times. Generally, over 100 mosques were built in Sarajevo during the 15th and 16th centuries. The most famous ones, apart from Gazi Huzurev Bey, are the Alpashina and Ferhadiya mosques. All Sarajevo mosques had not only a religious role, but also a cultural and educational purpose and represented the hearts of residential areas. Bašćaršija Square has been adorned by the Sibilje, a kiosk-shaped public fountain, since 1754. The original structure, which was commissioned by Mehmed Pasha Kukavica, was destroyed in a fire about a century later, and then the current Sibilje was erected in 1913. If you want to experience Bašćaršija in the best way, you should, by all means, take a stroll down Bravadžiluk Street. Within the blacksmith's Hadan Bazaar, which was formed in the 16th century, over time, individual craftsmen specialized in making locks and padlocks, which is how this street was named. However, nowadays, Bravadžiluk represents a gastronomic paradise in Bašćaršija, and along this street, you will find some of the most famous Sarajevo čevapčići, pie and asčinica food shops. Nowadays, many of the old artisan shops have been converted to souvenir shops and cafes. Maybe it's time to take a break and relax in the beautiful garden of the museum or in one of the many cafes in Bašćaršija. Actually, the first cafes in Sarajevo were opened 100 years before their Paris counterparts. and the most popular ones were those that opened in the mornings and served good coffee. Coffee here is still enjoyed and drunk with merak, pleasure, or not at all. Today, merak is the major tourist attraction of Sarajevo. Serbia, Kragujevac, Šumadija, and Pomoravlje, the heart of Serbia. A journey to the center of Serbia cannot start without warming up with a shot of rakija brandy. They say the first association to Šumadija in central Serbia is plum and rakija, šljivovica. You will be welcomed with it many times on your journey. The hosts of the guest houses will be happy to serve the best of the local food for you. Roasts and grilled red meat, cheese, homemade bread, and unique thick milk cream called kajmak and rakija for good eating. Some of the guest houses have their own wine production. Others will offer you the best wines from grapes of the two wine regions. In the heart of Serbia, you will have a royal holiday. You can start or end your journey in the royal town Topola at the foot of Oplenac Hill, where King Petar I Karadzorjevic built the residence and planted vineyards. The royal vineyards today are 10 hectares, which is a third of the area planted when the king was alive. Besides producing high-quality wine, today it is a museum of enology. Visitors can taste white Sauvignon, red Sauvignon, Chardonnay, and Pinot from the king's vineyards. The archive contains numerous wine bottles, some of which are almost 100 years old and have never been tasted. In October, you should come to the traditional wine festival called the Oplenac Harvest, when everything smells of roast meat, wine, and sweet sugar wool. To return from history to modern times and styles, you can visit the Wine and Rakija Hub in Kragujevac. This is a modern, decorated space where you can enjoy the best quality wines and rakija of the region, with carefully selected food to match each drink. The wine of Šumadija geographical origin features the autochthonous grape variety called Prokupac. Taste it with Šumadija Rose, Ruse. Its palette of fragrances range from intensely fruity aromas of raspberry, cranberry, and red currant to floral scents of forest flowers and mild spicy notes. The Association of Rakija Producers, Šumadija Plum, exhibit and sell their variety of over 30 rakija etiquettes. Prevailing are old traditional recipes passed through generations, but some young producers equally successfully represent the tradition and rakija culture of this region. Welcome, have a good appetite, and cheers! Albania, Tirana, Dagrobia Cave. Dagrobia Cave is a declared well-known natural monument of first category. Located at an altitude of 1,200 meters above sea level. It has scientific, speleological and geomorphological, tourist and historical value. Just past the village of Dragobia, in the middle of the dense forest, is the Dragobia Cave. Both the name of the village and the name of the cave come from the dragon. Legend has it that in the area there were boys born with dragon wings and hearts. A dragon boy was said to have supernatural warrior strength, and he would bring prosperity to his family and village. The cave is also known as the Bayram Tsuri Cave. Bayram Tsuri was a prominent national revolutionary hero, leader of the movement for the liberation and national unification of the country. He was known as the Dragon of Dragobia. Although the cave is difficult to reach, the surrounding nature is impressive with high forests and crystal clear waters, where the flowers and chestnuts bloom, the cattle rest and graze. Legend says that it's where fairies play and dragons fight with serpentines. Albanians have always sung about heroes, and their rhapsodic songs were accompanied by a typical instrument of this area called a lahuta. The Krajans call it kraj, the Trapoyans, blud, and the Matjans, groke. The lahuta is usually produced from maple, chestnut, oak, or walnut tree. The alder tree that grows in the swamps is also used by lahutars because it is lightweight and can be hollowed out thinly, which gives the instrument a characteristic sound. This instrument is played by men only. Albanian lahutars sing and play this instrument separately, never together. According to tradition, the best lahutar starts the song and then he passes the lahuta to the others as per the requests of those present. Lahutars usually sit cross-legged on the ground, trying to combine the sound of their voice with that of the lahuta. Lahutars usually sing about saints and legends. Their songs are very long and full of fantasy. Lahuta is spread mainly in northern Albania, above the Drini River. It appears ancient and primitive. The best lahuta masters in the country live in the mountains of the north, where the songs of the Kreshniks are still preserved and sung. Montenegro, Podgorica, Dumitor National Park. There is one rather prominent mountain in the hilly Balkans, the mountain colossus Dumitor, with Zabliak, the administrative centre, located in the northwest of Montenegro. Its area of authentic, untouched nature was proclaimed a protected area in the year 1952 and is included in UNESCO's list of World Natural and Cultural Heritage with Tara River, the deepest canyon in Europe. Be amazed by the Black Lake, pure magic located in the center of the park with a 3.5 kilometer long walking trail which runs through thick pine forest that reflects black color onto the lake. Or enjoy white water rafting on Tara River, the Adrenaline Challenge, and Djurdjevica Tara Bridge, which bridges the deepest canyon in Europe. Visit Stečci, mystical medieval tombstones, part of UNESCO's World Heritage List, and find out about many legends which are linked to these decorated stone blocks, as well as the turquoise Vraji Lake, Devil's Lake, for true refreshment for swimming and kite surfing during the summer. Discover 18 glorious glacial lakes in the Dumitor National Park or the village called Mala Crna Gora, Little Montenegro, where the people live in the spirit of life that was led a century ago, cut off from the world during the winter because of snowdrifts, to the extent that people call it the island on the mainland. Your visit to Dumitor will not only satisfy your senses of touch, sight and hearing, but will also give you the opportunity to taste some of the best traditional food and drinks, thus pleasing your senses of smell and taste. Kaćamak is the type of meal that may be found all over Montenegro, since people who lived in the mountains at that time had permanent access to the main ingredients, such as cheese cream, cottage cheese, potato, wheat, corn, and buckwheat. In order to successfully make this meal, it's necessary to constantly stir and beat the ingredients, which requires significant physical strength. Thus, men traditionally participate in the process of making. It is usually served with homemade sour milk. When it comes to protected areas, this Mediterranean country boasts 5 national parks. Long walks and adventure in untouched nature and clean air represent just what all of us need, right? Seize the opportunity and visit the country. Meet a natural masterpiece. Welcome to the Dumitor Mountain. Welcome to Montenegro Wild Beauty.